This episode is brought to you by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling a home, get matched with up to three top selling agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Welcome, rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 71. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, corporate in-house lawyer and real estate agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. How you doing, Amanda?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Just busy. You have no idea how COVID-19 unemployment, how busy you can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, it's great. Just like you, we have multiple things going on. So.
Yeah, living the dream.
Is this a dream or a nightmare? I'm not even sure what's going on anymore. So.
You know what show my husband's been forcing me to watch, which I just can't stand it, but it's called The Most Expensivest.
What is that? That sounds.
I think it's on Vice.
Yeah.
The Vice channel. And there's this guy named 2 Chainz. Just so obnoxious. But the episode we watched yesterday was this retirement option in Coral Gables, so Miami, Florida. It's so absurd. Like, there's 3 meals a day that are 5-star meals, like oysters and lobster and moose for lunch, and they have yappy hour for the people's dogs. And
everything's like,
It's for retirees, and everything is like crystal chandeliers and gold everywhere, and they have activities and entertainment. It's all these really rich retirees that go, and it's called the Palace.
Is there a price? Did they ever mention how much that cost?
They did. So they mentioned that in order to retire there, you pretty much need to have, I think it's like $13,000 a month or something. So you have to have like $3.6 million in your retirement account to be able to retire there.
Wow.
So there's your goal.
No.
I thought it was way too gaudy. I'm like, I have no interest in like these chandeliers and gold encrusted and everything looking so.
It just seems
ridiculous.
Like a waste.
Yeah. I mean, but you can't take the money with you, right?
Oh, see, you're starting to sound like people in our group. let me just go blow my money now. I'm not saving it.
Well, no, but I mean, these people are walking around in walkers, Craig.
Oh, okay. Well, that's different. If I'm up to that level, okay.
Yeah, so why not enjoy the rest of your time with some lobster and yappy hour?
I thought it was like a 55 and over thing. No.
It's like true elderly care.
So you're basically burning through the last bit of your money.
Yeah, as real elderly, not just 55. Okay, plus. Speaking of 55 plus, what were you going to say?
I would rather do that than be like in a nursing home where they're going to treat you like crap.
Yeah, no, this is exactly like these people had hardly any hair and were more age spots than skin at this point.
Oh, okay. That changes everything. I would actually consider that because your care level is probably much higher.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought it was amazing. Like one of them is a famous photographer and now he's taking photos of the older women in there and they couldn't even show him because they said it was not suitable for work.
Wow.
I'm like, these guys are living it up.
Okay, now I'm in.
Yeah, now you got goals, life goals here.
I'm not going to the Villages down there, but I would go to that one.
The Palace, yes.
The palace.
It does look like a palace.
So is that our savvy savings tip for the day?
Yeah, you better save a boatload of money. Yeah, so you can retire to the Palace. That's
the
your
Palace.
I do actually have a 55 plus story as well before we dive into our show. So I did help an individual find an awesome real estate agent, and she closed on her house this last week and is living it. I got pictures of her living it up, and now she's moving into the 55 plus community, completely debt free and, you know, drinking champagne, going out on a friend's boat, not their boat, because they just have to bring gas money and drinks. That's the way you want to go boating, by the way. That's a savvy savings tip. Don't buy a boat. Find a friend with a boat.
I agree with that one, by the way.
Yeah, she's super excited. She's living in a 55 plus community. Her husband had to get her in because she's not quite 55. But yeah.
See, is that the person that we talked about before?
Yes. So she finally closed.
But she said she would actually come on the show, right?
She's planning to, yeah, but she's traveling right now, so.
Well, that's what debt free people do. You can't keep them nailed down.
Yeah, she's completely debt free with money in the bank.
We need somebody like her to tell everybody, you know, what we're trying to tell them.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear from Craig Amanda. We want to hear from somebody else that can say the same thing.
Yes.
We're not making this up, people. It's so easy. It is a roadmap. I don't know. Yeah. People were arguing me in the group the other day about 401k touching it to pay off a car loan.
Yeah, I know.
I kicked them out. I'm like, and they were a coach, by the way. They infiltrated in and they were a coach telling people to touch the 401k. But you're done. No, yeah, we're not. It's not even discussable. Is that a word? I'm going to make that a word. Discussable.
Okay. But you know who I'm talking about, Craig. So yeah. I'm going to leave it up to you to coordinate the deeds and get her.
Well, when you come back from your luxurious vacation, we will knock it out.
Yes. And to be fair, my luxurious vacation, I'm not going anywhere.
No, you're not.
Yes. I'm having outpatient surgery. So. Oh. Yeah.
This is why I have gray hair, folks. I have to worry about Amanda. All right.
It's the only way I'm going to get a few days off.
Yes. Yeah. So our HR department here at Rockland USA is pretty harsh. So she had to finagle this outpatient thing that she made up so she could have some time off. So
that's right.
All right. After all that, what do we have on this podcast? I know you have a lot of explanation what we're going to do today. So
today it's one of our favorite types of episodes. It's all social media questions. We have six great questions from our social media page. The one where you kick people out, apparently.
Well, you know, it is what it is. here's question number one. You ready?
I'm ready.
I am getting ready to retire and did not plan ahead. We have two. Hold on. It only gets better. So we have two home mortgages, owe $320,000 and $198,000. We have a car payment and two credit cards. No savings, but a 401k with $400,000. What is your suggestion to start cutting debt?
So $518,000 in mortgages. Sorry, I was doing math.
No, I figured you were doing the math. Go ahead.
You know, I like to know the numbers.
I know. Every time you pause, I know what you're doing. Yeah.
So $518,000 in home mortgages. We don't know how much in car payments and credit cards, but given this explanation that there's no planning ahead and there's all this other debt and not nearly enough in a 401k, my suspicion is there's quite a bit in other car payment and credit cards. Mm-hmm. So let's just round up and say at least 600,000, right?
Okay.
And 400,000 in the bank. So right now you're running at a deficit of $200,000.
Yeah. You have no equity.
Yeah.
No,
what we would call insolvent.
Right. Yeah. You're bankrupt. On a technical personal level, we call that bankrupt. You have assets that are less than your debt.
Yes.
If you're a company, so. I have a quick idea in my head. I want to hear what you say first.
No, go for it, because I'm still a little stumped on this.
Okay, so if they have two mortgages, we have a 320.
Sell a house for sure. Oh, yeah. you only need one.
This is what I would do. I would sell the $320,000 one and keep the $198,000 mortgage, keep that house, sell the other one, because I'm assuming this $198,000 is a smaller house, which will cost them less overall maintenance and blah, blah, blah. Right. So I would sell the $320,000 house. I don't even care what it is. There's got to be some equity in that.
sell it, take that equity, pay off the two credit cards and the car payment, then you're down to the 198, and you have your, you never touched the 401k. At least you reduced your living down to that. Then we need to not do that again, because you're too old at this point. You cannot afford to go back into debt. Now, yes, you do have the mortgage, but you're debt free up to the mortgage.
Right.
And but you, well, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm concerned because there's only $400,000 between two people to retire.
So here's my other thinking beyond that. I don't think at this stage they're going to be able to pay off a house. I don't know how old they are, but they said they're getting ready to retire. I'm not sure where they got that idea from. So
yeah, it's a pretty much a lofty idea at this point. It's they're not anywhere near retirement until they can sort out these finances.
So I'm just throwing out ideas because we don't have all the details. I don't have them on the phone. So
they're
going to
be like this old crusty guy at the palace who's still working, but you know. Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the interest rate is on that $198,000. It might be beneficial to refinance that to a lower rate right now. And then at that point, what is that monthly payment? Is it the same as a rental payment or is it more? And can you pay that off without touching a 401k? That way you have your household covered, which is a huge monthly expense in retirement.
Yes.
So I'm throwing out,
I would want to keep that house rather than selling it and renting somewhere. You keep it, get it paid off. But I mean, depending on how big it is, can you rent out a room? You know, start thinking about how you can house hack. How can you have someone else pay your mortgage until it's done?
Finish the basement if you have one.
Just rent out a bedroom. I've done that a number of times.
So you're going to have to suck it up a little bit, but I would somehow try and get yourself where you are debt free. And number one, here's the other one. Here's the big one. You're not retiring. You're going to work until that second $198,000 is gone.
Yeah, you can't go into retirement with debt.
You have $400,000 with a withdrawal rate of 4%, Amanda. That's not a lot of money a year.
Yeah, I agree. You know what else is that there's this app like Airbnb. There's an app where you can rent out storage space at your house. So like some people need, they need garage space or whatever to store their stuff. Mm. So consider that too. Like you've got this space, so make use of it.
So there's an app like Uber and all these other ones where you can be like public storage now?
Yes.
Oh, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Well, Craig, you should look into it. You've got all this space at your house.
I know. I wonder how much you can make from that. Well, it's got to be less than public storage. I'm thinking about buying a plot of land and putting some buildings up. Metal buildings up? I don't know. I heard having those storage companies, that's extremely profitable, by the way.
It's extremely profitable.
And then you have someone live there cheap. You have someone that, a manager that lives there.
Oh, so you can't live in a rental space.
No, but people will, they'll build like a living space above the office. Someone's there 24 hours a day living there that, needs a place to stay. So they live rent free and they basically manage it for you.
So I found this app. It's called Neighbor. That's it. Just Neighbor. And it's not just limited to storage space. Variety of spaces available for rent include car, boat, and RV parking, attic space, closet space, outdoor sheds, bedrooms, and bicycle property.
Wow.
Bicycle parking.
Nice.
Yeah.
This is different than Nextdoor.
Right. It's called Neighbor.
Yeah. Nextdoor is the most toxic social media platform I've ever seen in my life.
Is it just where people, like neighbors just,
it's all your neighbors are in there. So it's not even people from another city. It is your neighbor. That's how it's, and they complain about their HOA and someone's cat. Oh, it's terrible. Teenagers are more mature than people on Nextdoor.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So a tenant's credit card is charged automatically each month and the rent is deposited into your bank account. There's no contracts. Tenants and hosts are supposed to give at least 30 days notice if they need to remove the belongings.
Wow. So I get, would you have, I guess you would have to do something with your homeowner's insurance to cover in case something happens to their belongings.
Probably.
We're getting really deep on that one, but there's a lot. Yeah, but I can see some other things.
The service, because there's a nominal service fee of 4.9% and 30 cents for every transaction. I guess it's not really nominal. 5% is kind of a tax. It's basically tax. Neighbors service fee includes $25,000 renter's guarantee and a $2 million host guarantee to protect both parties.
That's like an umbrella policy, it sounds like.
Yeah. If the host's storage space are damaged.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect.
So it looks like you already have that. Obviously, you can't be storing things like firearms, illegal drugs, hazardous things.
Okay. Well,
or stolen goods, you know.
I don't live in Miami, so I should be pretty good.
Yeah. Rent out someone's garage to store your cocaine.
Yeah, you know. Good old Miami. All right, let's go on.
All right, so there's some suggestions, great ideas that we can help people try and get closer to retirement.
Okay, number one.
Garage.
I think it's a consensus based on what we have. Get rid of that bigger house.
Yeah.
Get rid of the bigger house. Take all the funds that you made on that. Put it towards the car payment, the two credit cards using a snowball. Anything you have after that, then put it towards, well, no. I guess you need to make sure you have the emergency funds. Once you pay off the debt, baby step two, make sure baby step three is taken care of. Because that's going to be very important going in later on with that second house. That if anything breaks down, you have the money to do the repairs. Otherwise, you go back in the credit cards and now we're back to square one. So please, people, do not skip baby step three. I know it's boring. It doesn't make sense. But it will make sense when something goes wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Wow, that was a great question, by the way. We covered a lot of stuff.
We covered a lot. So
even cocaine and firearms.
Yeah. And neighbor. So look into it, Craig, with your giant house.
Yeah, neighbor, that's, I never heard of that one. That's awesome.
Yeah, and then your next door people can complain about you have random people coming in to use your garage.
Friggin' next door. I can't go on there. I'm telling you, it's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I'm not on that.
You don't want to go on there. Because there's people in your neighborhood that are complaining and you don't want to be part of it. So
I don't want my neighbors to know who I am or what I'm about.
Yeah. Well, I'm already stuck, so and they're probably listening right now, so that doesn't help.
Hello, neighbors.
Question number two. Do you keep your emergency fund in a separate account from normal savings account?
Yes.
Yep. Yes. Because we don't want to really have, I mean, I know you can get access to it, but we don't want to blend it in and you start digging into that. It's for emergencies. And if you don't have it in a separate bucket, I mean, a physical bucket, like another account, it's easy to start tapping into that, not realizing it. Or you look at your bank account like, oh, we can go out and do this. Like, no, you can't. That's not supposed to be touched. So you just make an online account. Like Ally or something like that, put it in there and just leave it alone. At least it's making 1% also.
No, it's not. They dropped the rates again last week. Yeah. 0.8% now.
So basically it was a teaser rate. Well, then
what
again,
do you mean?
The rates.
No, the rates have been coming down.
Yeah, the rates are coming down.
For the last 2 years as the feds drop interest rates lower and lower.
Can I make a quick comment about that in people's 401ks? The rates keep going down. At some point, they can't go down any further.
I mean, they're already basically close to zero.
So when you see bond funds, I know everyone's looking at their 401k and what funds are doing better. The bond funds are at the top right now. The reason why is when rates go down, bond funds go up.
Yeah.
This is not the time to get into a bond fund and start chasing. Like, oh my God, these bond funds are doing great. I'm going to get in there because here's what's going to happen. When the rates start going up, they go way down. They're going to be down to 0% again. They're not going to make anything. So, yes, if people happen to be in there, if you happen to be in the wrong funds, which is a bond fund, and you made money, get out. Get out now. You won. But this is not typical. Those funds don't make money. So get out because those funds are going to be going way down. They're not going to make money in the future.
Yeah, I do see. So Marcus by Goldman Sachs dropped their rate to 0.8% last week. Mm-hmm. Ally still at 1%, but generally, they all follow suit. What one does, the other one usually does within a week or two. So and we're probably just right in that sweet spot where they haven't come down yet.
So I think that's the point people didn't realize, that these bond funds go up when rates go down.
It's the first time in history where the bond funds and the stock market have been up at the same time.
Yeah, it's really bizarre. And this is what makes all the analysts and the Wall Street gurus, nobody can predict what's happening, because it's we have no data from this. So you can hear all the pundits you want. They don't know. No one knows. When the vaccine happens, though, guys, that year afterwards, oh, you want to be in the stock market.
Yeah, who knows what's going to happen.
Because 70 to 80% of stocks have not even turned around yet. When those turn, holy moly. But the tech ones, who knows what's going to happen with that. But anyway, social media question 3. How old is everyone's car that's paid off? How long should a car last, and what's the life expectancy of a car usually? So my car, I have a 2013, people make fun of me. I have a 2013 Honda Civic Si, 2-door coupe, and it's paid off. And I currently have 110,000 miles on it, and it doesn't move. It sits here. It doesn't do anything. And most of those miles were when I was commuting back and forth to Northern Virginia, like daily. And I racked up tons of miles. But now,
how many miles are on it?
110 now.
Oh, okay. But
in the last few years, I only go to the airport, which is only 40 miles. And it's like once or twice a week. So now it sits there. I have to drive it so the tires don't get messed up, because they're brand new tires. I don't know if people realize that. You can't just have a vehicle sit. You need to drive it. Yeah, it's really bad on the tires.
It'll put flat spots on your tires.
The tires is the worst part, but it does sit in the garage. It's not in the heat and in the sun, which is good, but you got to drive it. You got to rotate. You got to make the tires move. My next car, Amanda, I figure will be electric, but I don't want the current electric cars. I want the ones with the new million mile batteries, which would be coming out next year. That way, I never would have to buy a car ever again. The car, physical car, will wear out before the battery. I don't want the current batteries. I know that sounds stupid, but there's so many electric vehicles coming out in the next few years. I would like to have some. I don't have to change the oil anymore. I don't have gas. There's literally no cost other than charging it. I just don't use a car anymore. I have no interest in buying something to show it off? What would be the point? I would rather rent a nice big vehicle if I was going to go over the road than to buy one. So with all the delivery services. Anyway, how about you?
Well, mine's a 2015.
Okay.
And I think I have like 50,000 miles on it.
Well, you work at home too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. But whenever we do long trips or whatever, my car is the one we take because it gets better gas mileage.
So. Oh, yeah. He has a pickup, right?
He's got a Ford F-150. So when I had my BMW, which was not a family car because it was a coupe, then we would take his truck on trips. And actually the back seat on that truck is super spacious. I mean, it's like limousine space back there.
Oh, nice. So, is it the 4-door one, crew cab?
Yeah.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous from a man standpoint.
It does come in handy whenever we're doing projects around the house. We use the truck quite a bit. But yeah, the gas mileage is half as good as my car. Even empty with nothing loaded in it. Yeah, it's not great. But so he's got a 2012 truck. It's fully paid off. It has been for quite some time. And I think he's somewhere between 90 and 100,000 miles on it.
Has he mentioned about the brand new F-150s coming out this fall?
No, I mentioned it to him because you brought it up at one point and he looked at it and he thought, oh yeah, that's cool. But he loves this truck. So
I watched the whole presentation, because those things now come with a generator. I think you can power your house with it.
Yeah, I saw that. That would be lose cool. Power. We did lose power last night. We had huge storms here.
Well, if you had a new F1, see, now we're starting to talk negative against what we always say, everybody. But that's one of the things with some of these electric vehicles. There's enough in it, you can actually do emergency power to your house.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool.
And my son, he has a 2012 car and it's fully paid off and it's starting to have things that go wrong with it. So this last week, there were some issues. We needed a part that apparently is on national back order, so we couldn't find it anywhere, and no one knows when that part will become available. You know, fortunately, I found it at some scrapyard in Minneapolis. So
I've done that before, by the way. I have gone to scrapyards to find car parts.
Yeah, no, I just called around and like the whole country, and they were able to send it, and they got the car's fixed, so he's happy now. But you know, when things start to go wrong with a car, it's easy to start getting car fever.
I'm
just sick of this, I'm done with it, it's like not, it's gonna keep. But then you have to, and like I told my son, because then he's like, oh, I'll just take on a car payment. Well, he's in college, so that's not a great idea. You know, then you're going to have a car payment, plus you still have to put money away every month for when repairs and upkeep are needed. And then you're really going to be pissed off when you have a, you're paying a car payment and then a big repair comes along and you have to pay that as well. So it's much better to just deal with the car repairs every now and then pay that monthly payment.
Perfect.
My dad had a Jeep that he just got rid of this week, had 300,000 miles on it.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, he was fixing things up here and there as they came up, but kept it running. 300,000. It's still running. He just got upgraded, though.
My last vehicle before this was a Nissan Pathfinder. It was the older version, the one with the real four-wheel drive. Now that's more like a minivan nowadays, but the older Pathfinder, all the mechanics say those were the best because the engine would last longer than the vehicle around it. It's a favorite among mechanics, apparently, whatever Nissan Block V6 engine this is. But I drove that thing in the ground, I think 16 years, and the rust started coming up and everything was fine. But the engine was fine, but everything around it was finally just done. So and the oil leaks start occurring and I like, okay, it's time to get rid of it. But I love that vehicle. It was such a beast in the snow. Nothing could stop it. It was amazing.
We rented one of those when we went skiing and or snowboarding in Park City. Well, so that's we're through half of the questions. How about we take a break?
Sure. We'll be right back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
Sponsored by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, be sure you are working with an expert in your local area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com will match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of over 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, fixer-up, mountain retreats, vacation properties, or a first-time home buyer, let Choice Realty Connect match you with the perfect top agent today. Choice Realty Connect is who I trust, and I know you will too. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Rockland, USA.
Welcome back to Rock on the Money. It's the all question episode from our amazing listeners. Our numbers are going higher and higher. I mean, we put a lot of time and effort into this and we have other things we do, but we love doing this. And please keep those questions coming in. And I'm grateful for all this. And
And actually we have a podcast review to share, Craig.
Oh yeah. We forgot to do the podcast review.
I didn't forget. You did.
Well, no, I didn't. I forgot. I was all fired up, man. I was ready to go. It's a quickie. It's on Apple Podcast, iTunes. It's from Joe, and he says, love it. Great podcast. Craig and Amanda have great chemistry and keep it interesting. Oh, we keep it interesting. All right.
Yeah, this episode's interesting. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think this is a fun one.
You learned about storing your cocaine.
My cocaine and my firearms. Yep. If I ever want to be Grand Theft Auto life down in Miami, you know, I'll...
No, but I'm in all seriousness, seriously, don't store explosives. I mean, what happened in Beirut?
Oh, my... Really awful. Oh, geez. Can you believe they were storing that stuff?
That's insane.
In a populated area. Oh, well.
It was just awful.
It's usually when you find out somebody's doing something they shouldn't be doing. It's during an emergency. So, anyway... question number four, how much is your fully funded emergency fund? How many months did you choose and why, Amanda? I'm a little bit of a hypocrite on this one, but I'll let you do the correct answer and then I'll tell you what I do.
Well, so I'm a bit of a hypocrite as well, I guess, because my husband's job is completely secure. Mm-hmm. You know, he's active duty military, so there's no possibility really that he's going to lose his job. Mm-hmm. And we don't need my money to live on. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we have a large savings account, but it's not really based on expenses or per month. It's because we don't need my income.
Okay, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite.
Because we keep our expenses very low. So, I mean, if I had something set aside into a specific emergency fund, I would go with only the 3 months worth of expenses. Mm-hmm. Because of the fact that his job, I mean, he literally can't lose his job.
Yeah. So now I don't feel so bad. You know what? Yeah. I think if you start building the wealth... You probably treat this a little differently than people that are going through steps. So I'm thinking this is a good discussion even for me because I'm thinking. So like for me, I really don't have an emergency fund at all. Like my savings account is pretty like nubs. there's nothing. Now, when the HVAC did go out, I did have $15,000 or $20,000 in savings because I was planning on doing it this fall anyway before I got into winter. So I knew it was coming. It just happened to show up. So I kind of had that there, but typically that's not normal. I have all of my money in investments, like 457 is the bulk of my money. I have two 401ks, which are smaller, but my 457, I've touched it once. It was for a roof, which would be emergency expense. And this was in retirement. I've been retired for 5 years now. So I got a new roof and I called T. Rowe Price and said, hey, I need $15,000 after taxes. Because remember, it's traditional. A 457 is treated differently than a 401k. So there's no penalty for me to take money out.
Yeah, you really are a hypocrite. That's a terrible thing to do.
But T. Rowe Price, I had my check in 2 days.
Yeah.
So because I know I can have the money quickly and there is a huge pot of gold sitting there, I know the money is there. So I treat that as my emergency fund. I know I can touch that at any time because I am retired. That is my retirement money. But I don't take a monthly withdrawal from it of the 4%. I don't plan on touching that till I'm 70. I'm going to make it so the government's forcing me to take that money out because I want it to double 2 or 3 more times.
Yeah. So I'm different. So. I actually keep things in a savings account. You've heard me talk about Marcus by Goldman Sachs a number of times. So we have a very large savings account, but now and then we'll draw down on it to make a big purchase, like a big investment purchase with real estate and all that. But that's why mine's so large is because I'm always building it up for the next big investment.
Yeah.
But I don't ever let it get down below, like 20,000.
Okay. Well, I do keep about 10 to 15,000, and remember, I don't need that emergency fund for income, so that's a huge part of your bucket, in my opinion.
I think it's also important point you raised that once you get past your baby steps, things change a little bit. Like one, it seems like emergencies don't come up as often.
No, they don't. No.
Maybe it's just the mind shift because you have the money to take care of it. It doesn't feel like an emergency. I mean, it always feels like it sucks, right? Like when we needed to repipe our house. Yeah, that really sucked. But when you have the money, it doesn't feel like an emergency. It just feels like one of those crappy things that happens in life. And because we keep our expenses so low, like I said, we can live off of one paycheck. You know, when things like that happen, I rarely have to even touch the savings account, because it just means I won't be putting my check into the savings account. It just means I have to spend my money, not my money, but my check, our money, on that expense that comes up.
Yep. So people need to understand, I don't work, so I don't have that income coming in. So I'm retiree thinking. So yeah, what you exactly said is, I don't view that stuff. I know what my things are coming, like the stupid refrigerator. I'm going to have to replace that thing.
You haven't replaced it yet? Oh my God.
You can't get refrigerators right now, apparently. They're hard to get because of the parts. Now they are starting to come back online, but there was a period for the last few months you could not get appliances. It was difficult.
China.
Yep. I mean, you could get one. It's not the one you want, but... Yeah.
So hopefully that answered that person's question. But this is really, it depends on where you're at in your, I liked what you called it, wealth building.
Yes.
So if you are going through the baby steps and you've just paid off your consumer debt, then yes, it's important. And again, take into consideration your personal circumstances. So yeah, you heard Craig and I say some factors that change things a little bit, right? But generally the guidance is 3 to 6 months worth of emergency fund, and that's based off of your expenses, not your income. So whatever your expenses are for each month, you would want 3 to 6 months worth of that. And which end you fall on that spectrum is going to depend on what you realistically think your likelihood of losing that income is. I mean, people before this pandemic couldn't have predicted this pandemic, but right now that we're in the midst of it, there's a lot more predictability on and seeing where things are going or trending, depending on what type of industry your job is in. So if you feel super safe and you feel like there's a 90% chance you're not going to lose your job, or a 90% chance you're going to keep your job, then you're probably fine staying on the 3 month side. If you're in a relatively volatile market of employment, then I would aim for the 6 months. What you don't want to do is lose all your income and have no safety net. Right. I've been there, and that's awful.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I had to survive 3 months unemployed with no savings, so that on my own when I was single mom.
So you know firsthand what that's like.
Yeah, that's scary. That, and you're in complete survival mode and desperate. Well, and basically will do anything to survive. Yeah. So
what you just said, I'm thinking 15,000 for me, if I'd go by my monthly expenses, I'm way beyond 6 months, actually.
Yeah.
My expenses, because 15,000
your expenses are low too, because your house is paid off, your car's paid off, you don't have any of those. What are you, food and utilities?
Food and utilities, which is not a lot of money.
Right. So that's the thing, when you get to that stage and you don't have all this consumer debt, your monthly expenses should also go down, and that should make it a lower amount of expenses each month that you have to have in your savings account.
A common mistake that people do as they get raises and make more money with their lifestyle, they increase the lifestyle and they're not getting anywhere. You should keep your lifestyle relative. Yeah. I mean, reward yourself, but people will bring the lifestyle up with their income. That's super common. And then they wonder why they have no money saved. Like, take advantage of the new money and get that put away and start saving for retirement. But I mean, I was kind of guilty of that in my younger years. In the fire department, I would get a raise or something, like, oh, I got to buy a new vehicle, I got to do that. And I'm just as guilty. I get it.
But yeah, now, I don't think I've been that guilty. I mean, I grew up really in a poor situation.
Right, lower income,
low income, five kids, five mouths to feed. Some of our meals were very sparse and creative. My mother always did a great job being creative. I'll give her credit for that. She's going to hate me sharing the fact that sometimes we had cornbread for dinner, you know, like with honey on it. That was the meal.
That still sounds good though.
Yeah, like the box of Jiffy cornbread, you know, that you can get.
Oh yeah,
like
the Jiffies, yeah. I still have those. I like them.
Yeah. I do too, but
the other one? Washington. George Washington on it. Yeah.
Well, and I like it still because it it's kind of nostalgic for me, right? Like, yeah. I remember that at times that was the dinner.
Yep.
So I've always struggled then with being overly, you know, extravagant. That being said, my lifestyle now is exponentially more extravagant than it was then.
Absolutely. Right? But you are also, I mean, you're a two income earner right now. Mm-hmm. So no, it makes sense. And you're debt free. So
yeah, my extravagance is usually travel. So I'm saving so much money this year.
Exactly. I want to travel, but I can't do anything right now. So
and when we come back to travel, I probably won't be able to afford it because I'm sure prices are going to be super high.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Number five.
Yeah.
So my husband and I are in our mid-20s with three children. We currently own our small mobile home that's probably worth $18,000 to $20,000. We have outgrown it so fast, but we've barely started baby step two and we need a bigger place. I can probably sympathize with that. What should we do? Suck it up and stay here until we're done with baby step two, or sell the mobile home and use the money to pay off almost all of our debt and rent?
Well, they're thinking that if they sold it, they'd have to pay rent.
Okay. Oh, I get it. It was okay.
Nope. You're going to have to suck it up.
Yeah.
Suck it up, buttercup.
Yep. And then you could sell that.
Yeah.
At the end. But no, get through the baby step two. I agree with you on that. I know it's rough, but you got to that point with three already. So.
Yep. They're going to have to share. It's probably two, maybe three bedrooms max. So there might be three kids in one room and that's fine. You know, kids have survived worse.
I'm assuming the home, there's nothing in here about it being paid off or not. I'm assuming it's paid off.
Well, it says we currently own.
Yeah. So I'm assuming, so because you don't have that, that's your largest expense.
Oh, but I bet that they have to pay rent to the mobile home lot.
Oh yeah, that's right. So I don't know how much that is.
Yeah.
Because usually it's an electric hookup with that and water, depending on the mobile home park.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would suck it up because it gives you so much more, a bigger shovel to get rid of your debt. Because if you get out of that situation you're in, I know it's going to be more comfortable. The kids are driving you nuts, but you're not going to be, it's going to make it more difficult to get out of baby step two. So we don't know the balance of the debt. I don't know how big this debt is, but start selling stuff, start getting rid of everything. But yeah,
if you start getting rid of things that are in there, you're going to have more room. So yes. It's going to feel more spacious. But, you know, like this cultural thing of every kid needs their own room is just, it's craziness. Because Jim Gaffigan, the comedian, Jim Gaffigan has like five kids and they live in a 2-bedroom New York apartment, right? So and he's got some money, I assume, with all of his HBO specials and all that. If people can put five kids in one room, you can certainly live with three. I mean, we had five in my family and two. I mean, it was a 3-bedroom house. So, but the bottom line is here, you can survive. This is not the worst thing that happened. You don't need a bigger space. You want a bigger space. You have a home. You have room for everyone to have a roof over their head. It's, again, you want a bigger space. You need to reframe your thinking. It's not a need. So, again, this is about everyone needs to take a breather and really assess what's a need versus what's a want.
All right.
That's the same thing we see with cars all the time is I need a new car. Well, do you or do you need a car that just runs and can get you from point A to point B?
And what we tend to do, especially men, we try to find any way we can justify buying that new vehicle.
Yeah. Speaking of new vehicles, that's what our next question's about.
Yep. Number six, last one, people. If you were going to buy a vehicle that was A, super reliable, B, not a truck, C, could tow 2,000-ish pounds. Well, that sounds like a boat, Amanda. D, could fit three car seats comfortably as an everyday vehicle within and then cost $4,000. What would you choose?
This is like an impossible math problem.
Is this the person with the mobile home? They got three car seats. $4,000. Wow. You need to find.
I don't know. There's not many options under $4,000. I know this because I've looked. Yeah.
I'm going to just because CarMax is probably the easiest to do this quickly. I mean, I could go to any of those online shopping things.
There's not options that are that inexpensive because CarMax only keeps on their lot the latest couple of years.
And they pass the inspection.
Yeah.
It's ones that they're willing to let out for what, 30-day guarantee? So $4,000, yeah, will not be at CarMax. I'm leery about recommending anything. I mean, you could go, you need to find an SUV.
What are you towing? Because if you can't afford a car that's worth more than $4,000, you can't afford whatever it is you're towing.
You know what? That's a good point. You need a car. This is stupid. What are we towing?
Yeah, I don't know.
Sounds like your money issue is the 2,000 pounds. Yeah. I mean, seriously. Yeah. I mean, what?
I agree. I 100% agree.
And boats are the worst thing to have when you're in debt.
It's a boat or a camper. And unless you're living full time in that camper, sell it.
There was a point after, I know this sounds crazy, after Katrina, FEMA was selling all these campers that they bought for Louisiana and stuff. So I'm like, how much are these things? They had fields full of these campers. Yeah. I had no idea. That's why I learned about the depreciation of a camper.
Yeah.
Those things depreciate super rapidly, apparently, after you buy one. If you are going to get one, you buy a used one. I think we're back to our question last episode. When we travel, I'd rather stay in a hotel. I'm not staying in a stupid camper. I'm past that stage. But
so this was a trick question. And what we've teased out here is, you have another want tucked in here and not a need. Get rid of that 2,000 pounds.
Can I add the last sentence that they added that I did not read because I wanted us to talk about that first? Mm-hmm. I'm leaning towards a Honda Odyssey, which is expensive, by the way, and super reliable, by the way, but I don't know how you're going to find a $4,000 Honda Odyssey, but hubby seems to want a pickup truck. There's the word want.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you can get three baby seats in a pickup truck.
Well, unless that's one of these extended cabs.
Not for $4,000.
No. Yeah. You're 10 times that.
Yeah. They're stuck in these bigger vehicles that they don't need.
Yep.
And what you need is gas, like,
money and extra insurance. And you've got to reevaluate your priorities.
You could find a very reliable Honda Accord or Toyota Camry for $4,000 that will take care of everything but the 2,000 pound towing. That's what you should be buying.
You have three kids in car seats and you're towing something.
That's insane. You can't afford that 2,000 pounds.
Yeah, that's.
There you go. I would buy, buy the three reliable, the Altima, the Accord, the Camry, that series, the family sedan, four-door. You can find those for $4,000 to $6,000. Super reliable. They'll still get you another 50,000 to 100,000 miles. They're the reliable ones, and you'll be fine, especially so the Camry.
It's a boat, it's a camper, or it's a trailer hauling toys like snowmobiles or four-wheelers or jet skis or something like that. Any of those options, you sell, and then you have a budget higher than $4,000 to find something better.
I think that was the quote of the podcast right there. You had a list of exactly what's going on in this situation. This is why people don't like us. We bring reality in here, and they don't want to hear that. They want us to find them. They want us to solve the family marriage issue of a truck or of an Odyssey. And we're not doing it.
Even though number B was not a truck.
Right. Oh, good point. B was not a truck.
You may need some marriage counseling too, by the way.
That is actually the cause of most of these financial issues is actually the marriage counseling part. Because one person wants to save money, the other one doesn't. And unless you're both on the same page, you can't. What do you and your husband have a monthly budget meeting?
Well, yes. Yes and no. Yeah. But
okay.
We're very competitive, and just laying in bed the other night. We're very competitive. So he's actually the one who introduced me to Dave Ramsey and the envelope system.
Yeah.
And you know, I took it to extreme right away.
That's okay.
Because I wanted to win. I'm super competitive. But now that we both have these investment accounts, I'm having a really hard time because I want to make more than him. And so when he has a down day and I'm up, I'm like, yes, I win. But then the other part of me is like, wait, it's still all of my money, our money. So if he loses, I still lose. But it's like this dichotomy of I want to win, but even if he wins, I win, and I'm having a hard time.
So before we go, I've been working on something for the last 2 weeks. And one of the reasons is to keep me away from looking at my stocks because Stomberg is so wacky. I can't explain it. All the old stuff, it's keeping me from making a dumb decision. I think you agree with me on that.
Because I made a dumb decision this last week and I kicked myself for it.
There's nobody on this planet that can predict stocks right now. I have no idea. Even the good ones go down. They go up. I have no idea what's going on. This is not normal, and I need to be away from it because there's nothing else to do. It's very easy to make bad decisions anyway, but that's funny.
I think it's interesting.
You guys are competing in the stock market. That's scary. I'm glad I'm not.
Yeah, we compete unintentionally. I make everything a competition.
Yeah, but a lot of us are competitive, and that's how we end up being successful. So, anyway.
All right.
All right. Well, you know what? This was a great episode. It was both of us just talking things out, and this might be one of my favorites. This is
just rambling and ranting. That's what we do.
But we hit on how many topics do you think we hit on this? Everything from cocaine to storage units to boats and five car seats and trailers.
Well, so here's another funny story. Speaking of five car seats. So yesterday we were playing the game of life with our daughter.
Yeah.
And you know how you pick up kids along the route?
Right.
I had seven in my car, so I had to double stack them up, and then I had to poke one of the pegs off to the side so this kid was leaning out sideways out of my little life car. So yeah, seven.
I can't see you with seven kids.
Oh, no.
I know I can't deal with that, so. All right. Well, thank you, Amanda. This is great. Thank you for your time. You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at @AgileAmanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at RocklandUSA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.